Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back. Happy Thursday. We're on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here as they do each and every week so that we can be with you. And I want to remind you of our phone number, 323-203-0815. Dr. Allen, you're on the air. What's going on?
What's going on is we're doing a dream workshop this Saturday. Haven't done one in a while. That's I'm looking forward to. And we're doing seminars, script life seminars. And that's fun too. We've got a couple of those going in February.
That is so fun. The scripts are awesome.
I know they are. I love, you know, Claude Steiner died last week.
Yeah, I know.
Did you know that? Yeah.
Sad day.
Anyway, he wrote a book, Scripts People Live.
Oh, yeah.
That's the truth. And so I feel very good doing the scripts for people in class because once you're conscious, remember, if the mind knows and the mouth can talk, the body won't have to demonstrate through illness.
Right.
But if the mind doesn't know and the mouth can't talk, the body will demonstrate with illness.
Definitely will manifest. And I've seen that happen.
Well, you know that Upanishad that I love so much. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, the doctor's office being healthy, and in every single relationship, especially the loving sexual one.
Very true. Very, very true. Oh, so I want to give a shout out because you guys might have noticed that we're missing Sue Wagner tonight. So I want to wish Sue Wagner a very, very happy, happy birthday. And I hope she'll be back with us next week so she can tell us what is new and upcoming for this quarter.
Well, mostly it's script classes and dream classes. This Saturday is dream, and then we'll be doing pretty much at least two a month.
Very good. Well, I hope she's going to have a wonderful birthday.
I'm sure she will. She has a wonderful man. She's engaged, and I love her, and I appreciate her.
Me too. Okay,
and
so
the same for you.
I mean, thank you. So I think we've got some calls coming in. Let's see here. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Are you there? Maybe not
the
quite.
The voicemail
yet.
Box of 714.
Okay, I want to remind everybody, our station will call you back. So when you get a number that you don't know, please answer so we can talk with you.
Hello?
Hi, how are you, caller? You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Oh, you are on the air with Dr. Allen.
Oh, wow. Hi, Dr.
Yep.
Pat.
Hello, hello. I'm fine, except I'm picking it up on my phone, so I'll have to watch. Things are a little different because Sue is not in her spot on our team because of technicality problems, her computer.
Well, I've been reading your books, and I'm just completely blown away with your work and inspired to go back to school.
Well, that's wonderful. What are you going about to go back to school for? Meet a man or take a class?
No, I'm happily married, and we're finally having our first baby.
Okay.
But I am planning on going back to school while I'm staying home with the baby for the first 3 years.
Okay, and then you're going to study psychology? Are you going to be a marriage counselor? I'm a marriage family child. I'm a cognitive, I'm a transactional analyst, and I'm an addiction specialist in alcohol and sex.
Yes, I'm aware of all that, and I'm interested in all those topics. I came from...
So what do you want to study?
Well, both of my parents were addicts, and I've managed to turn things around for myself personally, and I would love to work in that field, but
great.
I'm a little nervous about, education costs so much money these days, and graduate school is going to be really expensive, and I'm kind of scared about investing so much money in my education and not being able to, I guess, I don't know what that's going to look like as far as professionally. I don't know any therapists that are, I'm not trying to get rich, but like, I'm just wondering if I hope it'll be worth my efforts because it's going to be a long commitment.
For you. You have to like being a therapist. To really, you know, it's interesting how money follows enthusiasm. When you're enthusiastic about something, I started going to college when I was pretty much, well, when I got out of high school, then I dropped out a while. But I went from, I didn't graduate from college with my degree till I was 40 years old. And I want you to understand, you have to be somewhere. I raised four kids, and I just took a class here and a class there. And wouldn't you know, I didn't really expect to graduate and get licensed, but I just did what was in front of me, and that's where I ended up at 40. So I've been in this business over 40 years and enjoying it every time.
So you got your undergrad in psychology, and then you got a degree in counseling, marriage and family therapy, and then you went and got...
I went on PhD.
And then you had your certification in the addiction, the sex and the alcohol.
Right, I got those along the way, right.
Okay.
So that's what I am. So if you're in a rush, you know, being in a rush shortens everything because you get too tired of being in a rush. But if you're patient, passive, and vulnerable to reality, that's called femininity, then you will do what's in front of your face for that day, for that week, for that month, and you'll be surprised. Here I am with 40 years of over 40 years of experience when I didn't even graduate from college till I was 40.
Yeah, that's really amazing, and that's really cool. Yeah.
Let me throw my hat in the ring. Dr. Allen was a great Dr. Allen was a great inspiration for me, and I've been working for her in many different capacities. But I found myself in a position where I needed to find something, and I found what I wanted to do. I went back to college at 50. Years old, and I'm working toward my degree and in counseling. So I'll tell you what, I'm always amazed at how much I'm enjoying it, and if I never go and get all the way to the end of it, it's been enriching, if nothing else. It's been worth the time and the trouble, and It's pretty amazing. How old are you?
I'll be 39 this year.
Never too late. My husband, it's never too late.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I do. I'm ready to switch careers, and I think this is the way to go. I'm just kind of, I've got a little bit of ADHD, so I know I might have to consider that as well before I start some science courses and math courses.
There's special things at college where if you have ADHD, they help you with, and they give you more time to take tests, and, you know, they allow you to use a tape recorder to take your notes. My daughter is ADHD, and she's actually doing the Addiction Studies Program certification. So she'll be an addiction counselor, and she was an addict. And this has been amazing for her. And she started back at 28. So,
well, I've been reading a lot of your material, Dr. Allen. I've been reading.
Did you want to ask a question?
Well, ever since I started reading your book, Staying Married and Loving It, I mean, it all makes really great sense. I know that I want to be a feminine wife, and I don't want to be a Becky Ballbuster.
Okay.
And I've got a great husband.
Do you respect your husband?
Yes, very much.
Good. Does he reward you by cherishing you?
Yes, we've been on a really long infertility road for the last 4 years, and we have both worked really hard to save money to continue to pay for treatments, and it finally worked, and I'm finally pregnant. And he just went above and beyond to, you know, help give me the family that I've always wanted. So that's pretty amazing.
I'll wager he wanted to do it for not only you, but mostly for himself.
Mostly for him, you said?
Himself. He had to have a passion for it in order for him to work with you.
Sure.
See, that's the point of building things with another human being, whether it's a baby or a career or a marriage, is you've got to have a passion. It's got to be something you want badly enough to put up with it on the bad days.
Yeah, you're right. It was tough at times. It really was. And I was listening to something that Marianne Williamson said in an interview about you, because I was, you know, followed her for years.
She likes my work. I know. I appreciate her recognizing that she likes my work. That's
she always honorable. Does.
Yeah, I mean, that's
really
a big...
does. I like it.
Yeah, so when she recommended, I was like, oh, well, I've got to jump on this, because I hadn't heard her really recommend that many... people. So I'm just glad that I found your work, and it's really interesting to me. And right now I'm reading Fathers and Daughters. That was on your recommended reading list.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very good. The three stages of life, first 10, second 10, third 10 years.
What can I read about mothers and sons in case I have a boy.
Oh, you fell right into my trap. Puer A. Turner, Puer, capital AETERNUS, by Maria von Franz, FRANZ. She was a protege student of Carl Jung. And she wrote Puer Aeternus. There are two books that are named Puer Aeternus. Be sure you get the Maria von Franz version. It shows the impact of a mother on a son.
And the title of the book was?
Puer, Little Boy Forever.
Little Boy Forever.
Puer Aeternus. It's a Latin statement.
Right. It's a translation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm just, well, thank you so much. I don't want to take up too much of your all's time. I'm sure you've got lots of callers waiting.
Thank you,
I can't believe I got on, and I'm going to come out to California as soon as I can so I can actually meet you in person. And
oh, that'd maybe, be nice.
Yeah.
I'm shorter than my voice. My voice sounds taller.
Yeah. What did Shakespeare say? She's small, but she is mighty.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Colin. And we can continue to call in. You don't mind if people call back?
No, call back with your questions. We're glad to have you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I will.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Keep up the good work.
I'm going to try. Just got to stay sober, and hopefully I'll be a great mom.
We're sure you will. Yes. Call back and let us know how things are going.
Okay. I will. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Very cute. Here we go. I think we have another caller. Wonderful. Hey, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to. How's it going?
Oh, great.
I've reached the voicemail box of 714.
Somebody else.
We lost Dr. Allen. We're having a technical issue because we lost a computer today. So we'll be getting her back here in a second. In the meantime, how are you doing tonight?
Well, good.
There you are, Dr. Allen. It's okay. We'll make it through the show. It's going to be fine. We have a caller on the air with us right now. So let's see what her question is.
Thanks, Pat. Well, my question is, I'm just having a really hard time communicating with my ex-husband. We can really only communicate now basically about the kids. I'm trying to get my one child into therapy. And he keeps doing this thing where he cuts off her hair as punishment, like for not brushing her hair.
Have you talked to the law enforcement people?
I called the Department of Child Services, but they said they said it wasn't quite reportable. They didn't think it was.
Okay, so you did. Then that's all I can ask.
Yeah. So
your ex-husband is not your friend.
Yeah, not at all.
And so, how many kids do you have with him?
Three.
The oldest down to the youngest. How old?
17, 15, and 12.
Okay. Is he doing anything morally, ethically, and legally bad at this age for them?
Yeah, well, things like the hair thing and then the, things like telling them not to talk to me or not allowing them to text me.
Wait a minute, do they live with him or do they live with you? Who's the primary
parent? We have half and half.
Half and half. So do they go back and forth half and half?
Yeah, like switch like every few days.
But you said that he tells them not to talk to you?
Yeah, when they're with him.
Oh, when they're with him.
I'm afraid you can
do that.
Yeah, I guess so.
So on his half of the time, they're off into the dark forest. But you have them, you know, when you have them, and do you make it worth their time and energy with you? You get along with your kids.
Caller?
Hello?
Oh, It looks like we lost her. She sounded a little bit upset. Now, Dr. Allen, would you consider that abuse?
What's that? Cutting off?
Mm-hmm.
Cutting off a kid's hair?
Yeah.
That's abusive. But the police have to go with marks on the body. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of things and not be criminally arrested.
Right, criminally liable.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so caller. We've got a caller, Dr. Allen.
As long as she, what?
Oh, we have a caller.
Okay.
Hi. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
So I'm trying to figure out if this person I'm, this guy I'm talking to is passive aggressive or not. Maybe I'm trying to see what my half is, but basically what happened was I messaged him and I said, as an old classmate, may not remember me, but I remember feeling impressed that you did this and that. And then he wrote back and said, I'm having trouble remembering. Did we hang out? And I said, no, we just had friends in common. I didn't hear back from him for the 8 weeks. And then I wrote back after the 8 weeks. I said, it's okay. I don't blame you for not remembering. It was a long time ago. Didn't mean to come to your space. And then I said, basically, it was like, bye, cheers. And then he said, nothing to be sorry about. I'll keep that in mind. I live up here. Where are you based? And then I said where I lived. And then I made a comment about the city he lived in because I've been up there many times. And I'm on week 7 again, and I'm expecting not to hear back again from him for the full 8 weeks. And so I'm wondering if I should even say anything after the 8 weeks, if it's just like kind of like a dead end.
What? If he does call or doesn't call? If he calls every 8 weeks, that's what he's doing.
Yeah, I have to usually like say like, hey, remember me. But
What is your question about? You're upset because he does call or you're upset because he doesn't call?
He doesn't respond after the 8 weeks, and then I have to put in like a prompt, and then I know I'm going to wait another 8 weeks and I'm not going to hear anything from him.
Wait a minute. What you're saying is when he abandons you for 8 weeks, you chase him. Is that correct?
I do what? Say that again?
You chase him. You call him.
I don't do it in the 8 weeks. I wait till after the 8 weeks is over. I've only done it once. So,
okay. So,
yeah.
He didn't call you for 8 weeks and then you called him. Is that correct?
Yes, once. Yep.
That's you chasing him. And how did he respond to your chasing? Was he happy?
I think he just seems like, I think he seems more surprised. And then he's like, oh, okay. And then he says something, but then doesn't actually follow up again.
No, I think he's trying to say goodbye to you.
Oh, yeah. I already accepted that, too.
All right, so are you willing never to call him again and only respond to his calls?
Yeah, I've already made that decision, yeah.
All right, because I hear a man who's not that interested.
Yeah, and it makes sense because I don't think he probably doesn't even remember me, so.
He's signaling you by every way I know, by not calling, by not remembering you. So I appreciate you're chemically attracted to him, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Did you have a sexual relationship?
No. I was just really attracted to him in school, but I was too nervous to say anything. Yeah.
So what you're saying is you flirted and you chased him, but nothing of a sexual nature happened because he wasn't that responsive.
Yeah. That makes sense. I just wanted to confirm. Huh?
Are you out looking for other people to date?
Yeah, I've actually been in contact with other men, but
It's just
wait a minute. Do you are you the masculine in a relationship, which you have a right to be if you want to be? Do you
no, I mean, they text me first, that sort of thing. This is the only case where I've actually been like, hey, I'm an old classmate, because okay. I haven't had no other idea how I would get in touch with him. Yeah.
All right, but you do flirt 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week as you go about your life, do you?
I'm working on it, yes.
Okay, because you've got to flirt in order to signal men that you're available. If you look away as soon as they catch your eye, you're saying, I'm taken, you're not it, goodbye. Smiling, looking in the eyes and smiling is the normal human signal for a woman to present herself in a ladylike way to a gentleman who may want to date you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Are you willing to practice?
I've been practicing.
Good, good, good. Then good luck. See if you can get
okay.
three men dating you.
Okay.
At least
all right,
three
thank you.
Times. You're welcome.
Three times each.
Good hunting.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you,
good
caller.
Luck.
Surely.
Interesting.
I thought perhaps she wants to be the yang person, which is okay.
Yes,
in my
it
book,
is.
Getting to I Do, William Morrow, the publisher, said you've got to put a woman who wants to be the yang energy, who wants to call men and date men, as well as the woman that wants to
Hello?
Be cherished. And it's in there.
Hi, caller. You're on
Hello.
The air with Dr. Owen.
Oh, wonderful.
Good. What can I do for you?
Yes, I have a question. I've been changing. When I feel terrified and scared, I tell myself I'm feeling excited and exhilarated. Is that feeling my feelings?
Yes, what you're doing is putting pleasure words attached to them. Feelings are feelings. They're not negotiable. They erupt in the body, and then they either go out as emotional reactions or they go up through your head and you say something flirtatious or fun reasonably and rationally. So do you have emotional reactions when you're attracted or scared or what? Do you flirt well?
Pardon?
Do you flirt well?
No, it's very difficult. I flirt and run, or I.
Well, that's not flirting. That's mm-hmm. what shall I say? That's teasing them and then running away.
Why do you run away?
It's just so scary. But usually what I want to talk about is...
What is it?
Is in business, when men are too friendly in business, I find it difficult not to hate them and stay businesslike.
Ah, so what you're saying is you go emotional, which is a reaction, not an action. Have you developed a hatred for men as a group?
Yes, but I don't.
Okay.
I don't really. You know, that's a mass generality, and I. If I'm having a really bad day, I would say that. But then, I want to change. I want to definitely change that.
Okay, you want to make a change. That's wonderful. You know, Napoleon Hill wrote a book in 1938, and it didn't come out till recently when Sharon Lecter rewrote it. It's called Outwitting the Devil. And you know what the devil is to Napoleon Hill? The fear of change. Now, if you want to change from an emotional reactive person to a feeling-centered active person, what you've got to do is basically tell yourself that you're going to flirt or you're going to relate to a man. And are you aware of my tool?
Yes.
Okay. So you know my tools are never ask him what he feels, but always ask him what he thinks. When you want to say what you think, make an appointment. Don't just blast into his brain. 3, when you're irritated by him, please make him right for what he's doing. You have a right to say that. You have a right to think that. You have a right to feel that. However, I'm not comfortable. It's to say something under discipline, which allows you not to emotionally react. You have to have a way to talk. I just said the Upanishad a minute ago, and I'm saying a habit of rational communication will take care of you when you're having an attack of emotional reaction. Have you ever used my tool when you're hating men?
Yes.
And do you ever have good results?
Yes, I do. I do. I certainly do. And I'm getting more and more compassion for people in general.
Good. What I'm hearing is you're de-escalating your emotional rage that was generated when you were a little girl by people that caused you pain, which is still triggering you to be emotional, which comes straight out of the gut, straight out of your mouth, and generally is painful and hurtful. So my recommendation to you is please discipline your mouth. You have 3 parasympathetic openings in your body. You have your mouth, you have your anus, and you have your urethra. All 3 of those have to be under the control of your psychological stability. Otherwise, you're going to not only mess your pants, you're going to mess your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you so much.
Discipline, discipline, discipline. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
You know, the nervous system is wired by anxiety and emotion.
Yes.
And it plays like a record player if you don't deliberately set up a program. I'm a transactional analyst.
Hello?
And I use the filter of words.
Exactly.
Oh, we have somebody on the phone.
We do. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. What's going on? I think we lost them.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Again, callers, you're looking for that number of us calling you back. So if you see a number you don't know, go ahead and answer it. It's probably us.
Good.
Hey.
Flip-on?
Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Paz. How are you?
Pardon?
Are you listening to me? How are you, Ms.
Yeah,
Dr. Paz?
We're hearing you. We're hearing you
thank
right
you.
Now.
What listen, do we do to you? Yes, please. Thank you. A wonderful man was dating me.
Well, that's good. But you decided you wanted to be the girl, the yin, the cherishable.
Yes, I did.
You didn't want to be the yang, the boy, the respectable.
Right, and it was becoming easier. But he had this terrible sickness. He was an alcoholic. I never had this experience in my life. Anyway, he died December 23, like a month ago. My question is... A month ago, he died of this alcoholism. Like, I will just go
of
with
alcoholism.
Him when he called me. Yes, I will just go to him only when he called me. So...
Yes, very good. So you were the girl.
I try. I know he was a girl because he was in his feelings a lot. But anyway,
when men are alcoholics or drug addicts, what happens is they knock out their intuition in favor of their feelings and their instincts. So they become
right.
like girls. And when girls use mind-altering chemicals, they climb up into their controlling head and become mama men.
Yes. I did my best to be the woman. Like, I will just go to him only when he called me. And
right.
he
okay.
will invite
so
me to go out.
Yes.
I mean, he was very loving with me. He wasn't abusive
very
or anything.
Very good, but he's dead. Are
he's
you
dead.
Grieving
he died a month ago.
Him?
He died. Excuse me?
Are you grieving or are you happy he's gone?
Wow, what a question. I sensed that he was very tormented. And I asked God for mercy for him and for myself. And I guess that was the way I got it. I was hoping I could help him get away from that, but that was almost impossible. I mean, it was not possible. I couldn't do anything. And now I shut my mouth many times.
I got it. So you were his companion till he died, or did you leave earlier?
What was the question?
Did you leave him or did you stay till the end?
He stayed away from me 2 weeks before and I stayed away.
Okay.
He came back and he said, I tried to stay away from you, but I couldn't. So this last time he did that, 1 week he stayed away. And I said to myself, okay, he's doing that again. I'm going to stay. I'm going to be passive. I'm gonna wait, I can say something told me anything because it's not true, but I was very uneasy. I went to check into his apartment. I just wanted to see the light or the radio or the TV. Anyway, I went there. I just remember the door was very cold. There was no noise and nothing. So. Anyway,
so he was dead.
I didn't know.
He was already
dead. He was
dead.
He was 5 days dead. I knocked the door and I called him and I said, you know, who cares about Paralen? I need to know he's fine. He never opened the door. Somebody hear me. And the next day they opened the door. He was dead for 5 days.
I fully understand
my question,
that. What is your question?
You always said, she's a part of me that is missing. I can't understand that, Dr. Pat. I don't get it still.
Here's what it is. I'll ask you. Was your father a drunk?
I never saw him. He drank when he was very young, and my mother was very strong with him. So he stopped.
Okay, so he stopped drinking. All right.
I never saw him in my life.
You never saw your father drunk?
Maybe one time, and he will have a big problem.
Okay.
No.
Now, let me ask you, was your mother the head of the house?
Definitely. She still is.
Okay. Therefore, what I'm hearing is you like men that need you to be their mother. Is that correct?
I tend to gravitate to that, yes.
That's the answer to your question. Okay. You like to be like your mother. Your mother's husband, your father, stopped using. The man you were with would not stop using, and he died of it. How yes. about you date only men that don't have problems with mind-altering chemicals?
Okay. How about that?
Right?
Sounds like, because I don't want to have that ever again.
That's the change you've got to make, because you were raised to mother drunks.
Right.
Your mother okay. showed you how to do it.
I see that.
But she okay. won, and her man stopped. Your man didn't.
Right.
So find one that doesn't... What?
I always wondered if there was anything that I could have done, Dr. Pat.
What?
Anything I could have done to help this person?
No.
Please, maybe.
What you needed, no. What you needed to do is what you just did. You stayed until he died. Then you okay. called me and said, why am I doing this? And I right. told you, from what you told me, that you've been trained to mother drunks. Now, my right. suggestion is that your non-negotiable item is don't marry, don't date drunks.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, I'm gonna
but
warn
you say
something.
Everyone is messed up somehow.
I'm going to give you a warning. Here's the
yes,
warning.
Ten.
You're used to the painful agony of drunks, and it may seem boring to you to be with normal men.
Oh.
Be careful that you don't like the excitement of pain. I'd rather okay. you worked on the boredom and yes. found ways to be excited that didn't include pain.
Right. Okay.
All right? Get
okay, Dr.
Pat. Do it. Good.
Thank you, caller.
Appreciate yeah. you have. Thank you. Bless you.
Bye-bye.
That was a meaningful call.
It was definitely meaningful. That's a tough situation. To watch
well,
somebody.
What are you going to do now?
We Hello? Have got another caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi. What can we
so
do for you?
Here's my question. I know we're almost done with the time. I'll make it quick. So I've been new to dating for several weeks, and I called many times before. I used to have a relationship with a married man, and last time we talked was 6 weeks ago, and it's been going okay. When we started talking, I was okay at first, and then I was sad, and then I was okay again. And then lately in the last week or week and a half, it's been so bad for me. Like, I'm having awful thoughts. Like, I've been having, like, fantasies of...
What's awful?
Well, I just feel like shit, and I want to, like, call him. He broke a lot of... We met at work, and he used his position of power over me. His authority, sorry, over me.
Darling, you gave him your body without a commitment.
Oh, I know. But I was so young and dumb.
You are a free wife. You're a free wife. He already has a wife, right?
What? Yes. Was. Not anymore. I don't have sex
oh,
with
no,
him anymore.
Oh, no. He doesn't have his wife anymore?
No, he has his wife. He doesn't have me anymore.
Yeah, yes. But you are not his wife.
No.
There's a wonderful book by Drury, Drury, and it's called Notes from an Old Mistress to a Young Bride. Oh, is that a good book? You need to read it.
I will.
Drury. Notes from an Old Mistress to a Young Bride. So basically what you're doing is paying for your job, which is to be a mistress.
Yeah.
And the way
I don't
you
do that anymore.
Mistress, well, then how about you read the book and don't date married men?
Oh, no, I won't do that anymore. I'm just, my question was, you know, obviously I took your advice and I go out on a duty date and I joined a dating service and they kept me up with a really nice gentleman. I haven't found chemistry with anyone yet, but I just miss that feeling of, you know, chemistry, which came with a lot of pain with that one, obviously, but it's just, it's like I'm a drug addict. Like I was taking a shower last night. I just broke down in tears.
I know that. Do you understand? Did you hear me when I was talking with the lady whose man died and she knew he was dying?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to know that pain is very exciting. It's not fun, but it's exciting.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm a norepinephrine addict.
You're a norepinephrine addict. Pain, which is the downside of dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going up, you go down, but it's still very, very physically exciting.
Yes, but I'm trying to change that. I set alignment every night, and I do at least 40 minutes of pleasure every day, whether it's listening to music or yoga or just going.
I think that's fine. I want to know who you're dating besides your lover.
There was one gentleman that sent me flowers when I was sick, but as soon as I told him that, so he sent me flowers, he brought me flowers while I was sick, and then he hinted to that he wanted to go.
Oh, how pleasurable.
It was very nice.
For pleasure.
Oh, it wasn't painful at all. I really liked it.
You know, many, many women like you find that men that are very loving and giving seem weak. That real men are naturally mean, controlling.
Now, you're the young lady who then he just wanted to hang out after he brought you the chicken soup and the flowers?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
And I took Dr. Allen's advice and I said, thank you so much for that invitation, but I would rather do something fun. And then he disappeared. So, you know.
That's right. You know why?
Because
he
wanted
sex. Your pain dealer. He wasn't your pleasure dealer, he was your pain dealer, and you get addicted to norepinephrine. And by the way, the book on that is Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers by Robert Sapolsky.
I'm reading that one. It's a good one.
Oh, how wonderful.
I have a whole library of books, your books, and almost every book that you ever recommended. It's like takes half of my bedroom now.
I know that. That's wonderful. Now I gave you another one, Drury's book, Notes from an Old Mistress to a Young Bride.
I'll get
that one. Okay?
Yes.
You do that.
So,
it's a beautiful book about a painful subject.
I'm sure it will be for me. So what should I do besides duty dating and just setting my alignment? Is there anything I can do to kind of ease this pain of missing him?
Date other men.
She is duty dating, so...
Duty dating.
She's duty dating.
Duty dating until you find the chemistry. You may take a while before you enjoy pleasure of a new man. Because a new man who's normal is kind of boring.
That's what I'm afraid of.
I know.
Are you flirting?
I'm afraid.
I am flirting, and this kind of brings me to another question. I did my math, and 5 minutes of flirting a day, that's 60 men a day.
No,
that's okay.
Is that even...
It's 5 minutes. No. 5 minutes a day is 1 minute segments. Look in the eyes, smile.
But what if they don't talk to you? Then it's 5 seconds looking at them, and then that's what
you
do the day.
It's nothing. If they look away, they turned you down. It's when they look and smile. When they see that you're receptive and available, they may speak to you. They may ask for your number. They may ask you to coffee. You see?
Okay.
I'm only asking you to be willing to look in the eyes of five men a day. Look in the eyes and smile.
Okay.
If they distract you and talk to you, they're going to take up more time.
Where am I gonna get 60 minutes? I said 5 minutes per man.
Okay, with that, we have to go, caller. Thank you so much, Dr. Allen.
Thank you.
We are out of time. What have you got to say tonight?
The way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Exactly. All right, everyone, follow us on Facebook or go to our website, www.drpatallen.com, wantistore.com to find all of our goodies and all of our fun stuff. Don't forget about our You Caring program. You can search that, Dr. Allen, You Caring, to donate to keep Dr. Allen on the air. We love you, and we will be back next week. Bye-bye.
Happy birthday, Sue.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.